Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard of FanRag Sports and NDT Scouting, along with Trevor Sikkema of PewterReport.com, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who, Trev, are one of the five teams that I have deemed had a good 2015 draft. One of five out of 32. I know that doesn't seem like a lot, and there's a reason for that. It's because it isn't. Teams drafted terribly, but it's hard to blame them too because the class also hasn't been very good and the development of players hasn't been very good from this class. So
I mean, if they just would have hired us, as evident of the last 3 days of the podcast,
speak on it. It's time travelers always come in handy with these things. If you have missed the last 3 days, shame on you, and go back and listen to the last three podcasts, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, because we redrafted the first round of the 2015 class. A lot of good players came off the board. The best players, I'm not going to go through every single pick because you guys can go back and listen to them. It was good stuff. It was a fun time. But the players we went undrafted for us in the first round in the redraft: Frank Clark because of the off-the-field issues, Jay Ajayi, Nelson Agholor, Darrell Williams and Trenton Brown at tackle, Malcolm Brown and Danny Shelton in the interior D-line. Shaq Mason, maybe you could throw in there, guard. I was looking through trying to think if we, left anybody off that really deserved to be mentioned. And I don't know. It wasn't a good class. It really wasn't. It hasn't even turned. I mean, I mentioned Darrell Williams and Trenton Brown in there, and Williams just came off his first year as a starter who has helped a lot in pass protection, and Brown just got traded from the 49ers to the Patriots, and there's a chance he won't even start in New England, even though I think he would a lot of other places. So, it's just been one of those classes where it's just, it's weird. So many of these guys have already been moved teams. We mentioned Trenton Brown, Jay Ajayi, Danny Shelton, just in terms of the guys that we didn't even have make it. Demarius Randall's already on a new team. We've seen that happen a ton with this class, really. Ronald Darby.
You got five teams, right? So you said you got...
I got five teams.
Today we're looking at what actually happened in the 2015 draft, yes. And we're kind of looking at the team's draft classes as a whole. And like you said, not a super strong draft. So if you compiled a couple of good names here and there, you're probably near the top. But you got five teams that you deemed had good drafts,
correct?
Right?
Correct.
All right, let me try to guess.
Well, I already gave you one of them.
Yeah, the Bucks, I think, are one of them. We'll
do
get
want
to that.
Talk about the Bucks first, or do you want to try and guess all five first?
Yeah, no, sure. We'll talk about the Bucks first.
I just think if you come away with the class, I mean, Jameis, Donovan Smith, Ali Marpet, and Quan Alexander are your first four picks. I'm not saying Smith's been a world beater or Winston's been a world beater.
That's a really good draft in this draft.
That's a great class. Your coaches need to develop that because there's a ton of talent there.
Yeah, no question. I think when you look at the Buccaneers versus a lot of these other teams, I mean, if you only got five teams that made good draft picks, that'll tell you how poorly the talent was spread out and talent was selected in this draft. And so, Jason Light, actually, the Bucs GM, he gets some flack for this 2015 draft. The 2016 draft, it doesn't look really good for him just because, you traded up for Aguayo and Hargraves might only be a nickel cornerback and that kinds of stuff. But the 2015 draft, some people have given him a little bit of flack for it just because it's like...
That's weird.
They praise him. They praise him for, like, you were talking about this before the podcast. Jameis going number one was obvious, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you were gonna get a franchise quarterback,
caliber, and that was obvious. At least franchise caliber. Yeah, all the tools are there. You gotta bring him the rest of the way.
Right. And so people are like, oh, well, I'm not giving him credit for that. He had the number one overall pick. So then you got to look at the guys that he brought in. Marpet's obviously good. Quan Alexander was obviously good. But then people just continue to harp on the Donovan Smith thing. And, like, people... It's a good draft. It was a really good draft.
Yeah. What do you want him to do? Not take a tackle at all? It's in the second round. He's been
right.
the second best tackle in the class. Like, I don't know what people, you can only draft the players that are in the class. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's not like there was, like last class, it was Taylor Lewan and Jake Matthews. It's not like those guys were sitting on the board and the Bucs passed on him. It was Donovan Smith and Lyle Collins in this class. And Collins obviously wasn't an option for teams given what was going on. They picked the best tackle that was available in this class. I mean, honestly, you could make the case the Bucs took the top quarterback. We'll see what happens. I mean, Winston Mariota, I think it's still a blurred line there. I don't know who's going to emerge as ultimately being the better quarterback. Huge year for both guys after down years last year. But They had to take a quarterback. They took the one with the most upside, the most talent, and still was close to his ceiling. I mean, it wasn't like he was like Josh Allen far away from his ceiling. They took him with the number one overall. They took the best tackle that could be drafted in the class in Donovan Smith. And I didn't have him as the best tackle at the time, but that's what he's proven to be. So kudos to them. They took him in the second round. You don't often get the best tackle in a class in the second round. Ali Marpet was what, the second best interior offensive lineman in this class after Brandon Scherff? So with Scherff off the board, they got the best interior offensive lineman that was left at number 61. And then Quan Alexander, who's been the best linebacker in this class? It's been Eric Kendricks and Quan Alexander, right?
Yep.
I don't think anyone else is really even in that conversation. So, where are you going to complain? They got the first or second best player at all four of the first positions that they drafted.
Yeah, I think they nailed it. And, you know, you and I were talking a little bit about Jason Light before the draft, or before the show started today. And he, you know, he gets some, certainly all GMs, all fans are going to give certain parts flack where they might not deserve it. But, like, I really do think that Jason Light's done a pretty good job. You know, I think in 2016, he even admitted that he listened to too many different people when it came to being so headstrong on taking Vernon Hargraves that high, trading up for Aguayo, Noah Spence, obviously that's still up in the air of what he's going to be able to be.
He's going to be fine. Leave my son alone. He'll be fine.
I hope he's going to be fine. He showed up to camp 2 days ago and looked like a hoss.
Good.
He looked like he put on at least 10 pounds, like solid pounds.
Good. I'm excited for this season for him. I think he's going to show some people some things.
So it was a good draft. I thought the Bucs had a really good draft.
Yeah. I think they had a great draft. Now, who are the other four? That's what you got to figure out.
I think that another good draft for sure was the Atlanta Falcons, right?
Yes, they are on my list here.
Yeah, Atlanta, Vic Beasley, Jalen Collins, Tevin Coleman, Justin Hardy, Grady Jarrett.
And like, obviously Collins is a big miss, and Beasley, you know, he's had really a seesaw, you know, down rookie year, then a great season, led the NFL in sacks, and then down last year. He only had a couple sacks. This is a big year for him in terms of trying, can we figure out who he is? Can he stabilize his performance? Can he be consistent? I think there's still question marks with him. Collins is obviously a huge bust. Tevin Coleman, though, in the third round, home run pick. He's terrific. Justin Hardy's been helpful to their wide receiver core for a fourth round pick.
Right,
he's been about what you expected. Yep. And then Grady Jarrett's one of the best interior defensive tackles in the league. I mean, to get that in the fifth round definitely boosts this class. But you know, you get four solid contributors, really three starting caliber players out of a class. You know, and two of them, Beasley and Jarrett, have had some unbelievable peaks, and Coleman has been a huge part of what they've done on the ground. And you know, I just think it's been a really good class for Atlanta.
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty easy one. Falcons have strung together some good draft classes, I think, over the last 4 or 5 years, whatever it is that I'm trying to think of. They have brought together a lot of really good talent. And it's no question that, you know, when we do our previews and we look at who's in the playoffs and we go, man, this one, you know, even last month when we were doing draft stuff, you know, you look over the Falcons, it's like, oh, what are their needs? It's like, man, this roster's good.
Yeah.
It's two needs. It's right. It starts years before and it starts with good drafts like this.
We talked about one of them earlier in the week, one of these teams, and we said they probably had the best draft class.
Is it the Vikings?
Yeah.
Okay. The Vikings. That was my other kind of like surefire. Like, this is a good draft class. They put Trey Wayne's at 11, which can you imagine? Okay, hold on. Can you imagine if it was Marcus Peters at 11?
Oh my gosh.
And their draft class would have been Marcus Peters, Eric Kendricks, Danielle Hunter, Stephon Diggs.
Yeah. I know they missed on TJ Clemmings, but it's a fourth round pick and he had upside. Like, it's not like they spent a high profile pick on him. Yeah. Who cares about that? To get Diggs in the fifth round, to get Hunter in the third round, to get Kendricks in the second. I mean, those are, again, you're talking about probably the best linebacker in the class, first or second best with Quan. Danielle Hunter, I think the best edge in this class. I would take him over even Vic Beasley, given where their careers are at right now. And the best wide receiver in this class.
I would not, but.
You would take Beasley over Hunter.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'd like Hunter a lot. Hunter's great, but.
That'd be an interesting conversation to start
Vic
on.
Vic Beasley's the guy.
I'm going to tweet that out right now. A little poll for people on the timeline. But, yeah, no, I think, I mean, either way, you end up with first or second best edge, first or second in the third round, by the way, first or second best linebacker, and then probably the best, you know, first or second best wide receiver in the fifth round in Diggs. Maybe some people I know would take Cooper over him. That's two interesting questions, actually. Would people take Danielle Hunter or Vic Beasley? Would people take Stephon Diggs or Amari Cooper?
I don't.
I'm launching the discussions on the TL right now.
If Diggs doesn't win that poll, I'm losing faith in people, in humanity.
I'll put that one first so you can get an indication how things are going. Pick one. Stephon Diggs or Amari Cooper.
He's live tweeting on the pod, folks.
Put the poll up. Stephon Diggs.
Poll up.
Amari Cooper. Poll length 1 day. Is that enough time for justice to be served?
Do it 1 day. Do it 1 day.
Here we go. Fine. It's off and running. I agree with you.
Diggs. So there's two other teams.
Yes, there's two other teams.
I'm going through it. I'm looking who it might be. Are the Bears one of them?
No.
Okay. The Bears had Eddie Goldman. They had Adrian Amos, and they had Jeremy Langford, who was okay.
I think I did skip the Bears though. Good thing you pointed that out.
Okay.
I only have 31 teams here. I would say that was a solid draft.
Right. That's why I was like,
Goldman and Amos. Like, Goldman and Amos are good. I mean, you'd be happy to come away with them.
Right. And I thought Langford, I mean, like, you know, before they got the guys that they have.
He had a pretty decent rookie year. Like, he did. Right, he was, like, balanced. Right. They immediately moved on from him. Like, the next year they were like, so they didn't want anything to do with him. So.
Which is a little bit crazy.
Yeah, but, something. We were missing something there.
I mean, they got some good guys in replacement. So, you know.
Right.
Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard. Pretty good football players.
Right.
I don't know. Give me one of them. Who is it?
The Arizona Cardinals.
I was wondering if you were going to pick the Cardinals because that's Humphreys at the top. Marcus Golden after that. Right. Obviously, David Johnson's a home run in the third round. But I wondered what you thought of Humphreys and Golden enough to call it a good class.
Yeah, I don't even – like Humphreys been – what did we give him? A D the other day? I mean, he's not been good. But it's not – very often you get a double-digit sack guy later in the first round, and you get one of the best running backs in the NFL. Plus, J.J. Nelson's been a really good player for them, quietly. But, I mean, you know, Golden had 4 sacks as a rookie. He only started 6 games, so he was just kind of contributing and playing a good bit. But then he played more next season, 12.5 sacks, and then obviously missed most of last season. So I don't think he's a double-digit sack guy every year. But if he can get you 8 sacks, you know, on a regular basis, I think that ends up being a good pick. And I don't know if I'd give the draft an A, but you know, David Johnson certainly helps it that way, and I think you know J.J. Nelson's a good vertical threat for that team. I mean, J.J. Nelson was like 157 pounds. I just was like, he's too small. They called him what was it? He was UAB kid. What's UAB's mascot again?
They're like the dragons or something. It's like a dragon. Oh, why don't I know this? Dang, why don't I know this? It's like a
Blaze the Dragon,
yeah, but, there it is. Okay,
yeah, but the Blazers, he was the like last of the Blazers or something, they called him UAB Blazers. I meant they're like not their physical mascot, but like they're the nickname part of their name. They called it because remember, UAB like didn't have football right after that. Now I think it's back, right?
Yeah, now they have it again because people are stupid.
Wait, you didn't think they should have it again?
No, I don't think it ever should have gone away.
Oh, yeah, no, I know.
We shut down the football program. Shut up.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Shut up.
Wow, we've already got a good number of votes on these. Are you ready?
Don't what?
Here we go. Danielle Hunter and Vic Beasley. Danielle Hunter is up big. 77 votes in.
Yikes.
Danielle Hunter is up 69 to 30.
It's because our good pal Arif retweeted it.
Oh, did he?
No, I don't know.
Oh, maybe.
Just shout out to me.
Pick one, Stephon Diggs or Amari Cooper. Diggs is way up. 77%. 218 votes already. 77% to.
Hold on. I'll smash retweet on both of these.
Yeah, smash that.
And I will also cast my vote.
There's already like 10 comments on it, too. People are sounding off.
Your Twitter branch is crazy, man.
What can I say, man? I just spend a lot of time perfecting my social media platform and. and how I'm perceived on social media. I have a lot of pictures saved on my phone, a full album just waiting to use at opportune moments so that I can capitalize on social media trends. I take pictures of my food. I have great hair.
I'm extremely offended. Once you said that I have a folder of like stuff, I was like, wow,
he's going there.
He's really going there.
I hope people.
I do have a folder of memes, folks.
Yeah,
that are ready at all times.
200 plus, you told us.
Yeah, it's close to 300 now.
Just memes ready to fly. And do you like memorize them? Do you like know when? Like as soon as you see something, you're like, meme. It pops into your head. Like this is the time to use that.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I mean, like when Ravel tweets something stupid, and then I get to tweet that picture of that circus guy who's like staring at his own butthole. Like, that's, I mean, like it's just, you know, some memes just write themselves, you know?
I will be honest. I have not put nearly as much thought into my social media brand as
you. But it apparently works for you, man.
I guess. I'm one of those low-effort guys, I guess. Not a grinder.
All right, so the fifth good team, obviously the Jets, getting petty in the fourth round.
Get the Jets out of here.
It's an absolute steal.
The Jets are certified butt cheeks in like every class that we've done so far. They got to be like one of the worst drafting teams in recent years.
Well, they picked number three this year, so yeah. Not good. No, I don't know who the fifth team is. Don't tell me. Hold on.
Might be kind of a surprise. No, I don't think it will be. Shouldn't be.
It's been a good class. Browsing. Is it? No, it's not the Patriots.
It is not. No.
Okay.
Patriots I put in the okay pal.
Because they had Brown and Trey Flowers and Jack Mason. That's a pretty good draft.
Yeah, you could put them. Those guys are all Chiefs? Solid. The Chiefs, no.
What?
They were also in the meh group.
What?
Wait, what they have? Peters and then?
DJ Alexander, Chris Morse Conley. Morse
has been good. But Conley and Nelson and Wilson, I mean, those guys have all been okay. And they would probably be a top 10 class in this draft, but I don't know if I'd. Nunez Roaches, they just cut, by the way.
All right, whatever. All right, who is it?
You're so mad about Nunez Roaches getting cut. Whatever.
It's whatever. Fine. Don't come after my guy.
It was the Redskins. Brandon Scherff in the first round. Preston Smith in the second round has been a nice contributor for them.
Matt Jones, Florida, great.
Matt Jones was actually always decent in Washington. They just always wanted to move on from him, which I get.
Which really pissed me off, but.
Yeah. And Jameson Crowder in the fourth. And then, you know, even guy like Martrell Spate's been a solid backup in the fifth round.
Yeah.
Kyshawn Jarrett was a stud as a rookie. And people forget this. He was a sixth round pick who was a stud as a rookie. And I had a second round grade on Kyshawn Jarrett. So I was amped beyond belief. Redskins fans loved him. He was like that type of personality. And he got hurt and his career was over. And that was it. He's still trying to play.
My boy Evan Spencer.
They did, yeah. I also liked Evan Spencer. Yeah, he made like six ridiculous catches at Ohio State.
Yes, and the whole time I was just like, I don't care. Day three, I don't care. Right. I don't care. Just get me Evan Spencer. I don't care.
I don't know what happened to him.
Was it last year or the year before? It must have been the year before. Yeah, the year before he was at Bucks training camp, and like he was on the training camp roster trying to make the squad, and I was like, keep Evan Spencer.
Over Kenny Bell.
Yeah, oh my God. And they did not.
Spencer was 6'2", 208. He could block. He played hard. High character guy. He made some Brandon Lloyd-like catches at Ohio State. And it just never, I don't know, it just didn't all come together. Wide receivers, a really technical position.
They just never gave him a chance, man.
Yeah, well, maybe. In terms of teams that had that bad drafts.
Saying, oh, you're wrong, actually.
In terms of teams that had bad draft classes, it's hard to even know where to begin. I mean, it was like half the teams in the league. I think the AFC North really stood out to me because all of them I thought had terrible drafts. So it just kind of kept things exactly where they were. Like, there's nobody from this class for any of these AFC North teams that has moved the needle in terms of where this division was at. So it just stayed the same. Like the Ravens, Breshad Perriman, Max Williams. I mean, holy, that's about as bad as it gets. And then Carl Davis in the third round. Like, those guys have barely even played, have been hurt, have been bad when they've played.
No, didn't go to Alabama.
Oh, my goodness. Big factor there, I think. Ozzie strayed from his norm. Za'Darius Smith in the fourth round.
Not a single player in this Ravens draft class went to Alabama.
I mean, I think that the best player for the Ravens in this class might be Nick Boyle in the fifth round.
I don't even know who that is.
He's like their third string blocking tight end.
Well, that's probably why I don't know who he is.
This is one of the worst classes. I mean, this is just a throw that class straight up in the garbage.
Didn't Javorius Allen? No, never mind.
He's been all right for a backup running back.
I was thinking of a different guy.
In the Bengals, Obui is going to be, he'll probably make the team, but this will probably be it for him. Jake Fisher is going to start on the right side, average at best right now, I'd say. Maybe he can keep getting better. We'll see. Tyler Croft, probably the best tight end from this class, still not good. Paul Dawson, oh my. This was a painful memory for me.
You remember the Paul Dawson debate?
Well, yeah, I remember it. Carry on. What were you going to say?
About what?
About Paul Dawson?
No, he just wasn't good.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Just slam me. I had a first-round pick on our first
round. Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah, I was one of those guys.
Oh, my God. God.
His testing was atrocious, but his tape was so good. His tape was so good.
Just couldn't run.
I know. I learned to trust it. But for linebacker, I just
got four gears. He was stuck in second gear.
I know.
But like, pedal was to the metal and couldn't get out of second gear.
Yeah. Yeah.
You had a first round grade on him?
Yeah.
God.
I know.
Everything that you've said before this moment.
Yep.
About being good at this draft stuff. It's gone.
Just went out the window.
It's out the window. You remember yesterday when you were talking that crap?
I knew we would come to this moment.
Podcast? Yeah, I don't forget.
I knew we would come to this moment because now I had like a day three grade on Cedric Ogbuehi, and so I nailed that one. But I had a first round grade on Jake Fisher, too.
So if Dawson and Ogbuehi... I think it's Obui, by the way.
Yeah, by the way. No one knows how to say his name, so.
No, I think I do. I think it's Obui. I think I just said it.
Pretty sure you're wrong.
Okay. If Dawson and Obui were switched, you would love the Bengals draft?
Yep. That's not good, man.
Is he your biggest miss?
Probably my biggest miss ever. Yeah.
All right. I got to think of a guy who I thought was, well, I had Cordarrelle Patterson.
That's horrible.
Really, really high.
At least he tested well, right?
Well, that was, I'm a sucker for athletics. I also put Kevin White over Amari Cooper because of athletics.
Yeah, but that's not, he's been hurt. Yeah, I think he might be. He's up there with my biggest misses. I'm trying to think of somebody that would be worse than Paul Dawson.
Remember the Josh Shaw?
Well, Odigizuwa, but Odigizuwa was like, there was all kinds of other stuff going on in that one.
I'm looking at the Bengals draft. Remember the Josh Shaw saga where he like, jumped out of the second story window to like save a drowning baby, and then like,
oh yeah,
it ended up being actually like domestic violence that he was running from.
Oh my gosh, I forgot all about that.
Yeah,
he almost finessed his way into like
being a hero,
getting the keys to the city,
dude.
Wow, yeah, that's I forgot about that story. We're gonna have to bring that one back on a pod.
We just did
in detail. I mean. But this was a bad class. I actually love Darren Smith, their sixth round pick. I had like a third round grade on him, and he's still on the team. And they don't have good safeties ahead of him. So it's unusual for a sixth rounder to last this long unless he's doing something really right. So I don't know when he's going to get his shot.
The Cleveland Browns had like 19 draft picks, and I don't know any of these people except for their very last one.
Well, the Browns.
Which was Ifo Ekpeolomu, who didn't play.
You know these players.
Yeah, I know. I was just kidding. Okay. Duke Johnson's actually pretty good, and Hayes Puller's actually played in the NFL. But
Danny Shelton is, just solid. Cameron Irving's terrible. Nate Orchard's done nothing. Duke Johnson's... Oh my gosh, he's like the fan. He's the guy that every year fans are like, they just need to give him a bigger role and he'll be great. And nah, he's
I think
just
Duke's
a guy.
Fine.
He's just a guy. He's fine. He's just a guy. He's not. He's not this feature back that should.
No,
be
but
more.
I think he's pretty good, like a specialized dude.
Yeah, whatever. He's okay. All right. Xavier Cooper, another guy that I liked but didn't pan out whatsoever. Ibrahim Campbell. All these guys, again, tons of high picks. Vince Mayall. horrible pick in the fourth round. I thought he was like a seventh rounder. Yeah, I don't know. They just did not get good play. They just have consistently not gotten good players. And everybody loved this class because they took Ifo Ekpri Olamu in the seventh, and then he just couldn't do it. His was his knee, right? Yeah, knee.
Yeah, I think so.
And then he hurt it again or something. I don't know. It's just bad. He never got back to who he was. But, yeah, just a super disappointing class. I mean, honestly, we could go on and on. Basically, if you're not one of the teams we've already mentioned, including like teams like Kansas City, New England, Philadelphia, had a solid draft, the Rams, the Bears, Bills, you know, you pretty much dropped the ball in this class. I mean, it was pretty awful from top to bottom. Oh, Pittsburgh. We didn't even touch on Pittsburgh. Bud Dupree's been, what, average? You know, nobody would take him in the first round in a redraft, or they shouldn't. Senquez Golson got hurt like 17 times, so that's hard to really hate on them for that one, I guess. But Sammy Coates probably won't be in the league. Golson probably won't be in the league. Duran Grant's hanging on somewhere right now, but again, he probably won't be in the league either. Fourth rounder. They actually cut Duran Grant out of camp as a fourth rounder. Highest guy I've seen cut in a while, and nobody picked him up. He got cut.
Rip.
He was a fourth round pick, got cut. Nobody picked him up, went back to the Steelers practice squad. I was like, what is going on here? So it was like, you feel good because you got your team's fourth rounder back, and you know you didn't want to literally lose that pick right out the gate, but you didn't feel great that 31 other teams didn't think he deserved a roster spot, so that wasn't ideal either. So it's just kind of one of those picks that you're like, well, this was terrible. Jesse James is average. Walton, Chickalo. Gerard Holliman was the Steelers' last pick in this class. Remember him, man?
Yeah.
14 picks his final year. The ball skills, jeez. People said. The ball skills. Watch this tape.
14 picks, like, you're just getting lucky.
Watch his tape. He got lucky all the time. Dudes tipped balls. Quarterbacks threw the ball right to him.
Ball skills.
Oh, my gosh. It was just people literally just looked at the box score and said, oh, ball skills. And you put it on the tape and you just didn't see it at all. I know people of high pedigree who had second round grades on Gerard Holliman. And also he tested like an elephant. So I couldn't think of anything good. Anyway, there was a lot of bad draft classes.
No, that was good. You did good.
There were a lot of bad draft classes. It's hard to know like where to begin and end. But the AFC North really, man, they took the cake. It was pretty atrocious top to bottom. And the Saints, too. You know, we've really praised the Saints drafting over the last couple of years. But, I mean, Pete was, you know, ended up being a good player. But Anthony, Kikaha, even when he's been healthy, Garrett Grayson, those were, you know, P.J. Williams, those were all second, third round picks, you know. So I think that, I don't know, it's just you want to get more. I'm sorry, Anthony was a first round pick. I forgot. They got back in the first round for Anthony. So, I mean, you come away with, what is that, four picks in the top 78, or five picks, I'm sorry, in the top 78, and you get one starter at the position that he wasn't drafted to play at? Not ideal. You got to come away with more. And they did years later, but not in this class. Pretty bad top to bottom. So there you go. There's our overview, kind of a quick overview anyway, of the 2015 draft classes and who nailed it. Five teams that we've considered nailed it. I think we'll have a little bit more success with 2016 class in terms of evaluating who did well or not. Tomorrow we got Fan Friday. Don't let me forget to send out questions to the people, Trev, tonight. We'll send out Fan Friday.
Feel like the poll was the questions.
Yeah, maybe we'll just talk about these polls. By the way, 681 votes. Stephon Diggs already? Already. Stephon Diggs is destroying Amari Cooper. 75% of the vote Diggs has. Maybe this isn't even as close as we thought it would be. I thought it would be like remotely close. And Danielle Hunter is destroying Vic Beasley too. 378 votes.
That's not destroying, dude. It's 60-40. Calm down.
61-39. That 1% is huge. You're going to lose. Just accept it. Once these things get up to that many votes, it just trends in that direction.
People have been wrong before.
Yeah.
I don't mind being right.
This just is one of those times. Party. It's not one of those times. Danielle all the way. We'll be back tomorrow with Fan Friday. Then we do the 2016 redraft and talk about and discuss those draft classes next week on the pod. Until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.